Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to write an entire movie, scene by scene, one page at a time. And this movie, Jar Jar, Portrait of a Hero, the unofficial Star Wars standalone movie that we hope we don't get sued for. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and this is where the fun begins.
Hi, everybody. This is J.J. Abrams' writing partner and Kathleen Kennedy's most trusted confidant, Matthew Arnold. And I'm here to help you folks figure out this Jar Jar movie.
I didn't realize you're so tight with J.J. and Kathleen. Can you dish on some of the gossip, some of the behind-the-scenes drama?
J.J. and K.K.
Look, if you know anything about J.J. and K.K., you know the first thing that happens when you become their friend is you sign more NDAs than you possibly know what to do with.
An NDA?
I'm not allowed to talk about my day with you anymore. So, you know, what's going on with my life is now owned by the Disney Corporation. Yeah, my personal diaries were moved. It is what it is. But, you know, you got to keep those secrets. You can't let the secrets come out of the box. Otherwise, nobody's going to go pay for those movies.
Oh, man.
I got to say, unless we get a show made out of Dungeons and Daddies, I'm getting pretty insecure about calling ourselves Hollywood professionals. But that's a. But I can talk to my therapist about that. We don't need to tackle that right now.
Matt, we're professional Star Wars fan fiction writers now. Yeah, we've made it.
There we go. This is three Star Wars fan fiction writers here to write a fan fiction. So let's do this thing.
All right. Well, last where we left off, we had just gotten through the opening crawl of our movie, which turns out to be a teleprompter that Jar Jar Binks is reading in his office. By the way, Spencer Mayo on Twitter did a Photoshop of the opening crawl with Jar Jar's big goofy face at the bottom of the frame, and I shot milk out my nose. It was so funny. But we were definitely like, this is definitely in canon now, is that as it's scrolling down, Matt had this idea that, like, as you're looking at the words, the way you reveal that it's a teleprompter is you pull out and you see the reflection of Jar Jar's face in the screen just to make it even goofier.
Yeah, like the face, like, fades in like a cheap, like, you know, Doctor Who intro effect. Like, are you kidding me? And then as it pulls, they're like, oh, this is a reflection. Oh, it's on a teleprompter. Oh, it's Jar Jar. Just fucking throw so many left field ideas at the audience that, like, the first 20 seconds, they literally don't know what to do with themselves.
So I'm a big sucker for a gag where a big goofy face pops into the front of screen and blocks the thing you're supposed to be reading. And this is like Jar Jar's face is just perfect for this. Anyway,
yeah.
So Jar Jar is in his office. He's flubbed his lines in his re-election ad for himself. And now he's in his office with his buddy, Nate 38, his sort of pollster droid. And we got to get this dang movie on the road.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking, guys? What happens next?
Lightsaber fight.
We kind of talked about at least the idea of this scene. And I cheated a little bit. I did kind of do some research. I was trying to get my head around. Because, you know, again, this is our first movie that we're fucking putting on the big screen at a $200 million budget. You know, my friends JJKK said we were. So, like, I'm taking this pretty seriously. So, like, we had talked about that this scene is essentially a slice of life of Jar Jar, but the dramatic irony being that the audience knows that we are actually moments away from Order 66.
For some shit going down, yeah.
So it does a lot of stuff for an intro, right? For like a cold open. Essentially, it's reintroducing the audience to the character of Jar Jar of the prequels, right? Like that lovable goofball that everybody loved and nobody had problems with.
With balls of steel.
With balls of steel. As well as kind of setting up the inherent, like, status quo of what this universe that we're going to be jumping into is, which
all
is
right,
the post-Order 66 world.
Can I just take, sorry, Will, I know you're going to go into real this. I want to just do a quick divergence.
That's the second movie, right? With
the more I think about the fact that these movies highlight the fact that this war hero nutted himself on a tank.
I knew it was going to be about him nutting
it. They do one.
The second you said steel balls, I was like, we're not done with this. Freddy's going to come back. He's not yet done.
All I'm saying is, imagine the Spielberg film Saving Private Ryan and that happening to anybody at any point in that movie. And just think about Tom Hanks,
Tom Hanks
getting, you know, nutting himself on a T-72.
Matt Damon nuts himself on the tank and then he gets hit so hard he turns into an old man.
All I know is that when I was talking to JJ and Steven came over, I was like, Steven, don't even touch this movie. I can't forgive you ever since you changed it to Jar Jar getting nutted on a walkie-talkie. Like, I cannot let you touch these movies.
We're bringing
anymore.
All the chestnuts out today.
All right.
Okay.
So here's a thought that immediately leaped to my mind is, if I remember correctly, in Revenge of the Sith, like, we see the moment where Emperor Palpatine orders Order 66.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
How insane would it be if, like, he's like, execute Order 66? And they're like, sir, we have Jar Jar Binks on the line. Who Jar Jar? Or is it funnier the other way around? Like, he gets off this, like, we're talking to him and Jar Jar, and then, like, we cut into his office, and we see Jar Jar's head on, like, the hologram, and he's like, okay, goodbye, Jar Jar Binks, and then Jar Jar turns away, and he just presses a button, and we see that clone troop. He's like, execute order 66. And then, like, we know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I think the idea that Jar Jar was in that scene...
I know, right?
He's off camera.
...was actually off camera when they call in order 66 is really good.
Oh, so, no, you're saying, so he literally, like, walks into the office of Palpatine.
Yes. And
I'm Palpatine,
trying to watch the moment.
He's
actually,
like, hey, hang on 1 second, Jar Jar. And then he turns and says, execute order 66. And you're like, oh, what was that? He's like, don't worry about it. You'll find out later. He's like, oh, okay.
It's my order at Whataburger.
Or you'd make it like
an impossible patty.
I get the Texas toast.
So I was looking into, which oddly enough, I didn't actually watch the sequence of them calling Order 66. So I'm doing that now. The two things I was looking at was one within Star Wars and one outside of Star Wars for the scene itself. So yeah, I was reading up about Order 66 and kind of like the way it works. I didn't realize that it's like literally a chip in all the stormtroopers, all the clone troopers.
Matt, I have to jump in for just 1 second and say that it's very funny and endearing to me that you called like you doing research for our script cheating earlier. Like, that's very funny.
Oh, I meant like, you know, outside the hour.
I sinned.
I cheated by caring about the thing I'm writing. So they have a chip in their brain, you're saying?
Yeah, and actually there's a whole, in the Clone Wars show, I think, and it's kind of references that there was actually like a whole kind of, you know, one clone trooper killed a Jedi and it was just seen as an accident, but then like the doctor, you know, performing the autopsy was like, hey, there's a chip in here that fucking makes stormtroopers kill Jedis. And then the Kaminos or whatever, you know, were told that it was like Isaac Asimov type, like if there's a incident where like
I'll give you Isaac Asimov.
Asimov?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Asimov.
You know, the iRobot guy, Will Smith. But yeah, like essentially like it was seen as like, oh no, it's not a problem. It was put in there as like a, you know, a fail safe in case, you know, they go crazy or whatever. And then the Emperor had put it in there from the beginning. So it's like, it's a thing where it's like, they're not choosing, like they essentially, even if they didn't want to do it,
there was a biological override. Right?
Yes. And then the other thing I was looking at was more just kind of like the tone of the scene, because not tone, because our tone's going to be fucking stupid, but like there's a whole series of these sort of scenes, like 13 days and like United 93. It's the scene of like just the normal slice of life, and then in the background you kind of start seeing the incident. This would probably be closest to Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yeah, the intro of Shaun of the Dead
where the zombie apocalypse is occurring in the background and this audience kind of understands it.
So you're saying like Jedis are just dropping like flies, like feeling great disturbances in the Force and getting tummy aches around Jar Jar Binks
somebody found the evidence for this and then was killed before the presenting it to Anakin. So there's also like, there could be in the background, there's kind of like a kerfuffle going on in, you know, the Emperor's chambers as like people, like somebody thinks they're figuring it out. Because essentially Order 66 was accelerated because they're like, oh shit, like they're about to figure out what Order 66 is. So you're saying
they figured it out before it happens. And
yes.
Then he put the hit out to just kind of get it out of the way.
Yeah, they're like, okay, this is getting, you know, we're getting too close.
They figured out Order 64 and 65, and they're like, now they're going to get to number 6. We should cast this. We should have put it a higher number.
Order 64 was to cancel Banjo-Kazooie 3.
God.
So, okay. So that's one side of this. The other side of it is the Jar Jar side, right?
Yes.
Which is that, so we also need, it sounds like, so Jar Jar's in his office at the beginning.
Yes.
He's recording this ad, and now it feels like we need some sort of A to B. Like,
what does Jar Jar want?
Oh, what does he want? That's a good point.
Yeah.
So one of the things I was thinking when I was kind of typing up our scene yesterday, that I was like, oh, this is maybe something we can springboard off of to kind of get a hint of Jar Jar.
You cheated too? You thought about this outside of our hour?
So at the end, I kind of get to this hero stuff. Misa proud to stand by the Chancellor in our fight to save the Republic because the galaxy needs a hero, and so does Naboo, right? And so like you could do, especially if like this speech was not written by him, it was written by his droid or whoever.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, oh, should we be really calling me a hero? Like, am I really a hero? There's lots of heroes in the galaxy, you know? And they're like, hey, baby, what can I tell you? Like, people love a hero, right?
Like, yeah, I like that.
And so at least you get that kind of question right up front.
Like, Qui-Gon was a hero.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Emperor Palpatine, and that's his exact line.
Exactly,
it should be Emperor Palpatine, but he looks kind of younger, and he's got, like, hair now, and he's like, yo, baby, everybody loves a hero.
Hey,
what
baby.
You do?
He looks like hot looks a Joseph Lieberman.
Does.
Doesn't he?
I'm just thinking of BB from Frasier.
I think you mean hotter Joseph Lieberman.
But, like, really, doesn't he, though?
He does.
Like, especially especially in Phantom Menace.
I almost, for some reason, impulsively Googled hot Joseph Lieberman. I was like, does he really look like hot Joseph? Like, okay, that's not the right thing to Google.
What would you do if all the responses were the Emperor? It's like, that's so weird. We found a weird corner of the internet.
Okay.
I love the idea of him being like, I'm not, like, him being humble. Right at the front, but it also points to an insecurity and kind of his, and then you'll see that there's a prop, like it also holds him back. It's not about like that he needs to accept that he's a hero, but I think his insecurity and whatnot holds him back in this senatorial role with thinking about the things that he could actually do. Because, right, there's an element of, you know, it's one thing to kind of be brave in the Phantom Menace and stuff where you're just like, you know, running along with the Jedi's and like, you're willing to put your life out there. It's different. Like there's a certain amount of confidence and self, you know, I think. You need to be secure in yourself, I think, to kind of play in the world of politics and kind of these bigger stakes.
Okay, let's say it is the Emperor. Let's say the Emperor is in the scene. Or the Emperor is sitting right behind camera, right? Like, we introduce the Emperor on this, or not the Emperor, Palpatine, on this line. Where he's like, should I really be saying I'm a hero? And then, like, of course you should, Jar Jar, you're a hero now, or whatever, right? And then you do that in the middle of talking to Jar Jar, he gets like a message on his space phone or whatever, right? Like he gets alerted to like, oh shit, some of my big boy hardcore shit's going on. And then he sends Jar Jar on some fool's errand out of the room. And then he gets the news about the fucking that they're closing in on Egg Order 66. And then he fucking puts the hit out. And then we cut to Jar Jar on his goofy mission.
Yeah. Or he runs out. Like he runs out of there. Like somebody comes in and whispers to the Emperor. He's like, I'll have to come back to you, Jar Jar. And like leaves or whatever.
Oh, I see.
And Jar Jar's left to doing whatever he's doing or whatever. And then like.
Technically. He does look like full on Palpatine at this point.
Oh, yes. Does he? By Order 66?
Google Order 66, he does look like straight up.
So this is after he got jacked up by Mace Windu then.
Yeah.
In the movie. Because that's why his face looks weird, is that Mace Windu blasted him with magic.
Or counter-blasted him, right?
Counter-blasted him with different magic. And then
you should make some joke where Jar Jar is always afraid that he like can't look at him in the face because he's afraid. It's like Cyrano de Bergerac, like don't look at his big nose.
Okay, so yes, you're right. So essentially we're saying
but they don't think he's evil. They're like, hey, he got messed up by
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Frey, they're a little bit more tolerant in the future. They're not like, hey, his face got burnt. Like, he's evil now. Come on. They're like, hey, our poor beloved senator, leader of the Senate.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair.
No, but he does look, I mean, not to judge a book by a cover, but you are like,
come
on.
Pretty,
do you guys
but
not
to judge
know?
This book by the cover? Like, come on.
It's really more the black hood, like, drooped over his face, cloaking him in shadow that gives him the kind of sketchy demeanor, I'd say.
But I guess people are like, oh, he's embarrassed of his new wounds.
But my point is, he's sketchy. At best, he's sketchy.
But nobody thinks he is. They're his like leader. Like I'm trying to remember because in the Clone Wars cartoon, he's like he's hot Joseph Lieberman.
That takes place before Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, yeah, so Revenge of the Sith is when Mace Windu dies, right?
Yes. Okay. So he is.
So this just happened. So like definitely like Jar Jar's boss just got like melted, right? So this is probably like a big. It's probably the gossip going around the office. It's like, wow, Mace Windu melted our boss's face. Like, right, that would be all you're talking about.
It's like the hot capital gossip, dudes. All the interns are talking about how... Yes, right? Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Like, when I worked at Disney, if somebody was like, yo, Bob Iger's, like, face got melted off by George Lucas. It was and Lucas is dead.
Yeah, Lucas fell to
George Lucas
death.
Out a window. Yeah, you're right. You talk about that.
Yeah. This would not pass in the halls of government without some comment.
Okay.
It also definitely puts you right there. You're like, okay. But, like, Jar Jar's a good soul. He's like, oh, man, poor Emperor Palpatine. That's horrible. Like, who knew Mace Windu was a bad guy? And look at him. He got hurt. I feel like that's his point of view. I don't think he's suspicious, right? We're definitely not playing like Jar Jar suspicious.
No, we're not playing Jar Jar suspicious.
Yeah.
What does he say about the attempt on his life? Does he say it was the Jedi?
Because Anakin runs in and Mace Windu's gotten him at blade point.
Oh.
And he's like, no.
Oh, so this you is remember? Very interesting. So the line, this became a meme because people post this when they stub their toe or whatever, when he says, this attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed. So I'll read a little bit of the speech. This could be the speech he's working on giving or he's just given it, but this is very interesting. And the Jedi Rebellion has been foiled. The remaining Jedi will be hunted down and defeated. The attempt on my left has left me scarred and deformed, but I assure you my resolve has never been stronger. In order to ensure our security and continued stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the first galactic empire for a secure and safe society. So that happens.
And then how long until Order 66?
So basically, yes, after getting his face melted by Mace Windu, he issues Order 66. He kills all the Jedi and then basically says, oh, the Jedi Order was bad guys, they rebelled, and I put down the rebellion, and now it's the Galactic, we're the Empire now, because he's taken out his chief political rival.
Yeah, he does the classic ask forgiveness, not ask permission. So he
perhaps the ultimate example.
Yeah. He's like, if I say all the Jedi are evil and then ask everybody, it's gonna get all hot. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna be messy, but like if I just kill them all, then it's like, hey, yeah, I did it.
I'm gonna have to deal with a bunch of discourse on Twitter of whether the Jedi are really evil or not.
So that makes sense.
We're in the middle of all this. This is pretty high. We're coming in.
So, yeah, I feel like this is pretty close to his face got melted. Like, it's like his face gets melted, and that's like, that's the last straw. He's like, I'm going to do Order 66 now.
Well, he uses that as an excuse, right? Yeah. That duel is his office, is him saying, like, look, they're trying to assassinate me and take control of the Republic. Therefore,
yeah,
I'm
ordering. That's a pretty fair, like, if there's no suspicion of Emperor Palpatine, which there's not, like, in the show, like, yes, Mace Windu trying to kill him is a pretty good, like, see? Considering that Jedi are already kind of seen as these mysterious, like, they're beloved because they're powerful, but, like, you know, they are kind of outside of the normal person. Like, they are.
Okay, so here's the tricky part. Here's what's interesting, too. Man, this is, like, very delicate surgery trying to weave Jar Jar's thread in here. How much time is there between him killing Mace Windu and then him announcing Order 66? Because it's like Anakin's in that scene, right? It's like Windu falls to his death. Anakin pledges himself to the Sith and Palpatine knights him Darth Vader. And then it's just the next thing that plot stops is he just issues Order 66. I cannot imagine he waited for a really long time between those two events.
Yeah, no, there's no working meal to getting taking place here. Like, he's not getting some okay, burgers good. From the
so
diner.
First,
so rather than Palpatine being in the room, which like,
yes,
it's like think, kind of whatever. Yeah. They could be recording this and like Mace Windu just died, you know, sort of thing.
Oh,
could be like the way you bring us into.
Yeah, that's the news. The news is that Mace Windu just got iced.
And he wants to like ask the Emperor like what happened and all this stuff. Like that could be kind of like the flow of this scene. Like first when you establish what it is he wants to do, like he's already ready to do this speech, but then we introduce.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Matt, because it's from the point of view, which we don't really see in these movies. It's the point of view of a senator, right? It's like literally just got there was an assassination attempt, we got locked out. Like from the street level, you just see the city go into lockdown.
Yeah, relatively relevant to just the last couple of weeks. So like, yeah, like what is it to be,
yeah, like they've announced that the Jedi are, there's an insurrection attempt, the city goes into lockdown, Jar Jar's like, what the heck happens? Pretty much Order 66 happens right there, probably, right?
This movie's so goofy. Yeah it's so it goes to like his face melts and it's like a very bad like Frankenstein looking mask they put on him because it's like they don't want him to look quite like the Emperor yet. It's like younger messed up Emperor, and then like literally it cuts to fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi on like a CGI lizard.
Hell yeah, baby.
And like somebody's like, hey, we think something's going on, like Mace Windu, and then it just cuts to Emperor and he's like, yo, Order 66, and then that guy who's like warning and like talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi like gets that information and like they all start killing
so
everybody.
Immediate, it's almost immediately. So but we can play the POV of Jar Jar and the
he's
city.
In a different location. He's like, yes. He's got a cloak on, he's definitely like gotten changed and shower post Mace Windu fight. It's not like he like stands up and says it.
Matt,
like,
when you said post Mace Windu fight, I thought you said Postmates, and I was like, yeah, he had time to order some Postmates. Yeah. He had time to shower, get into his new cool wardrobe.
I would definitely buy it's a couple hours from Mace Windu to easily, like the way it transitions, like it doesn't feel like it's like instantaneous. Like,
yeah, he's getting the pieces together. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put all that aside for a second and talk about Jar Jar again. So Jar Jar is minding his own business, recording.
Do you feel like that sentence was said so many times by George Lucas during the makings of the prequels that people were like, this is good. He's like, okay, put all that aside. Can we talk about Jar Jar? And people were like, oh no.
Little did they know he was right.
Yeah.
Jar Jar is recording his ad for his reelection, completely oblivious, right? Assuming we're not going back and rewriting the speech and he's giving a eulogy for Mace Windu.
Yeah, no, I love him being like, am I a hero?
Okay, so you could do, because this also, by the way, I believe this whole showdown takes place in the Galactic Senate building, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they go to his Palpatine's office.
Yes.
That's so, so like, good. Jar Jar wanting to go talk to Palpatine about the speech.
and then a bunch of, it's Mace Windu and a bunch of Jedis are just marching down the hallway and he's like, hey, like, not now, Jar Jar. going up to kick his ass.
We'll talk to him later. And then like he's walking towards him, like Anakin just brushes past him, like post just freaking Mace Windu just died. He's like, hey, Anakin, where are you? And they just walk and he's like, and you're like, oh shit, did Mace Windu just die? And like he walks in and like the window's cracked open or whatever. It's like, oh,
you're saying Jar Jar discovers this?
I mean, not discover. I mean, I don't think. Well, yeah. I mean, we could.
Jar Jar, my good friend. Anakin did not help me to my feet because he's Darth Vader now. Quickly, come pick me up. I'm fallen. And don't ignore the. I had to throw Mace Windu outside the window. It was terrible. Jar Jar, come here. Jar Jar. Jar Jar, you're finally here. Is that what you're saying happens?
Yeah. Like, he comes in and the window's open. And he's like, oh, Emperor Palpatine, I was going to talk to Mace Windu. Where is he? And
no, wait,
and then he looks out the window. He's like, well, Mace, you could say I had to knock him down.
Him out the window. I had to throw him out the window.
No. Oh, and then he's like, wait, what? He's like, but seriously, I did. And now we're going to kill all the Jedi. So what is it that you want from me, Jar Jar?
Is this too hot a runway to land this Jar Jar plane on? Like, is this the wrong moment? I'll throw that out there.
My point is, what I'm interested in, like, just to speak for a second as a Star Wars fan, I've seen the militarized point of view of what happened, the Jedi POV of Order 66. What I think that you can get.
You want the civilian POV.
I
want
to see the civilian POV. I want to know what the average Joe, I want to go to that diner and ask those boys in that diner, what do they think about what's going on in that moment? Because that's the thing that I think you just never get. And I think is a window, because in a way, Jar Jar represents this like underdog everyman. And I feel like we could really play into that a little bit with
this. Yes, here's where he might be too hot. It's like literally Jar Jar, like in the building, like seeing it as it happens, like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern sort of like just outside the fight of Hamlet, as opposed to like, to Freddy's point, like if this was, even if he's in a Senate building, that building's massive. Like the point of view of, you know, it reminds me of like, I mean, I'm watching The Crown, but like when the king dies and like they're in a different country and they get the news, it's like all this stuff going on. So like Jar Jar in his Senate chambers or in his palace in a different part of the
city.
What
if Jar Jar's in Naboo? What if he's in Naboo reporting it or something?
Yeah, he could be in Naboo. It doesn't have to literally be like he's there, because what we're really playing was the scenes I was talking about, kind of like the 993 and like 13 days, is like the scene's arc is Jar Jar has something he wants to do. Like the crawl sets up kind of the status quo, and I like that thematic aspect. Mm-hmm. And then he's insecure about it, and then we're going to see what he is doing. And like, yes, if he's going for re-election, he has a specific goal, which is like these Naboo veterans or whatever it is. And then while that is happening, while you're seeing like all the ways he's bumbling through this in the background, all of a sudden like they're like, hey, we're getting news, like Jedis are getting killed, and they're like, oh my god, like is the war escalating? He's like, actually, we're getting reports that's the clone troopers. Like, here, Senator, you know, Palpatine has sent us a message that everybody needs to read, and like, and then you start realizing when this is.
I would say this, the closest I would say that I want Jar Jar to this, I feel like it would be interesting to see like if there's a Jedi near Jar Jar and like his clone trooper security detail kills that Jedi and he's like, whoa. Like, don't worry.
So you do have, but to go back to it being hot and heavy with Jar Jar right there, you have an incredible sight gag of him doing something and then fucking Mace Windu falls past him outside the window. Like he's a few floors down.
The idea of him being on Naboo is interesting to me. If he's like on his re-election campaign, and then you could do like, again, the approximate version of being witness to the Order 66 stuff is we see, again, there's clone troopers, and then like, you know, we see him start like shooting at a Jedi or something like that.
I also like the idea that Palpatine's from Naboo. That's something on Twitter reminded us.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a connection as to why. In fact, you might even remind the audience, maybe what Jar Jar is doing is like trying to install a, you know, Emperor Palpatine, you know,
library
community center for veterans or whatever, because, you know, he's a famous, I mean, right? Naboo would love him. Like he's son of Naboo is now Grand Emperor.
It does feel like before we get to all the crazy stuff, right? Before shit hits the fan, like you need to see this beat of like what Jar Jar is essentially, what his status quo is.
Yes.
Right. And so just to, because I feel like maybe we can knock this loose by kind of talking about this thing. We can kind of like, you know, figure out where the two halves of the sandwich, so to speak, like, what do we want to show in terms of like characters we want to highlight, what his worldview is. Like, it feels like you've got about one scene here. It's like in Morning Glory at the beginning of that movie. She's like, hey, I work at this, you know, this news show. I think I'm going to get promoted. It's like we see her at her job. And then like she's basically, we're literally starting with like we see her get up in the morning. We follow her on her way through her job to get to her boss's office and she gets fired. Right. And it's like all of 5 minutes. But it's like, you know, like we get who she is from it. And then kaboom, the whole thing blows up on her. And it does feel like you kind of want to hit that with Jar Jar. And so I'm like, what does that look like?
You want like the Truman Show, but everybody hates him, right? You want like that, like the beginning of the Truman Show when he walks through the town, everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. Like, because again, to your point of also like reacquainting, like to get the kind of feel of what Jar Jar was to both the audience and the world. And honestly, like in the Clone Wars cartoon, the first episode they have with him is very much like, oh, Jar Jar here is, and everybody's annoyed. And he's like, he's annoying and bumbling,
yeah,
and he drops.
Mean to Jar Jar.
Yeah. Like the whole episode's actually, you know, they do the classic like comedic goof where like, he goofs his way through saving everybody. Like, literally, it's like the sort of like he trips and miss, and like the bullet goes over his head and ends up hitting a stormtrooper sort of thing. And then, like, everybody's like, thank you. But, like, yeah, you definitely get a sense, like, everybody's like, yo, this guy sucks, you know, right? Like, him, like, bumbling through town and, like, people, you know, saying, like, whatever, like, oh, it sucks that we have to act nice to him now that he's senator, or you know, he's just a fucking idiot.
Something we should hit, and in terms of something we could play as well, again, I was looking it up, and I was definitely very amused to find out that Jar Jar Binks is not a senator, but a junior representative from Naboo, which is, like, very, very funny to me. It just, it's like, he's basically Jonah from Veep. Like, he's just, like, this big, you know, sort of, you know, like, oafish guy who's like, again, like kind of an imposition or whatever, who means well, but like, again, like he's getting on everyone's nerves. I want to get to that, and I want to express that and kind of feel that. And again, actually, maybe having it be on Naboo is not a bad, like, way to kick it off.
No, it's great. Because I think what you also see, and I think what's important is like, the irony will be this stuff bounces off of Jar Jar. Mm-hmm. Like, Jar Jar loves his planet and the people on it, right? Like, he loves Naboo. Like, I mean, in Phantom Menace, like, one of the strong points is, like, he's, like, to the Nabooians and to the Gungans, he's, like, we need to work together. This is our planet. Like, we all need to work together. And, you know, they've already banished him because he makes mistakes, because he caused an accident or whatever. So I think seeing that he loves this planet and he's this genuine person that cares about the people on it, and he doesn't let people's, you know, dislike of him and the fact that he's annoying get in his way is all, I think, kind of like the strong aspects of his character and why he can be likable. Mm-hmm. But then we also need to do, like, what is it that he's trying to achieve and what are the flaws that are preventing him from doing that? And, you know, some of it may just very well be like, you know, is this a movie about, like, he's not wrong and, like, everybody else is horrible for finding him annoying? Or, like, can we, you know, maybe open up the fact that Jar Jar is maybe annoying, and maybe he's annoying because he maybe is not considerate or understanding of the people around him or something.
The first thing left in my head is, we still do our teleprompter gag with, like, is he giving a speech? Is, like, that a thing you could do?
Yeah. Alternately, he could still be doing the campaign ad, and it's like they have a bunch of Naboo extras hanging out there to, like, help him with the ad too, you know, like, he's got to kiss some Gungan babies or whatever, you know, like, it's a whole PR blitz.
Yeah, I think, like, he's doing his role as junior representative on Naboo, mm-hmm. while the big man, Palpatine, who was senator but is now grand emperor or whatever, chancellor, is doing the important stuff. And yes, the fact that nobody kind of really respects him because he's not even, like, really the senator, maybe he feels helpless in the war going on, right?
My instinct is going to, he has to cut a ribbon and he's got a big zany pair of scissors. Like, I'm like, something needs to go wrong physically, obviously, yes. Right?
Like a big statue of Palpatine falls over and everyone's like, oh my gosh, Jar Jar, you've destroyed.
He's going to cut the ribbon, but then he trips. Instead of cutting the ribbon, he cuts the support beam and then the statue, like the iron lines, like one of the iron.
Oh, he cuts the, yeah. So, like, the little cables that are holding it,
yes,
up.
Yes, and then the tips over and that hits one of the, you know, one of the cannons that's there for the, you know, three rifle salute, and the cannon spins around and shoots a clock tower. It tips over and falls into the water supply and causes a small tidal wave. Like, it's like he destroys the city.
Yeah, it's
like,
one of those. And then
he's
right as he's like, oopsie daisy, and like a fish lands on his head that flew out of the fountain, their sirens go off and they're like, all the Jedi are dead.
No, you don't do sirens go off. I was thinking about this because the way you fucking just out of nowhere, maybe this is too grotesque, but it should be. There are obviously Jedi's on Naboo. You know, you would do like a Jedi. You've introduced this Jedi as a friend at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of this, Jar Jar is like, right, this definitely ends with him like nutted and he rolls over and like falls into sand and his legs are sticking out and he's feeling about like, oh my god, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And then like a Jedi pulls him out. It's like, well, Jar Jar, they look at the whole landscape. It's like, well, you've done it again. And Jar Jar's like, I'm sorry. And then blood splatters across his face and he turns and the Jedi's dead.
Just been shot.
And all
by
the troopers are there. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck? And then they start running people down. It's like, oh, this is Order 66 right now. Because yes, in the montage, we do not see where Jar Jar is. So we can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm. That's true. The montage doesn't check in on Jar Jar and his Jedi buddies. Just a zag real quick.
It's Jar Jar, and he's attending a bachelor party with a bunch of Jedi, okay? And they're all, like, just hanging. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't want to do a serious Jar Jar movie. I just want to fucking make a movie that nobody will like. But I want Jar Jar to turn around and go, and then, like, a bunch of clone troopers are shooting at him, and he's, like, doing the Roger Rabbit, like, dancing left and right, like, oh, no, like, I hope I don't get shot. And then when he's done, he's like, woo, and he wipes his brow, and then the camera turns around, and it's like they weren't aiming at him. They're aiming for the 20 Jedi behind
him. They were aiming at those Jedi children.
They're all dead.
Those Jedi younglings.
He's cutting the ribbon on a youngling training facility.
Yes.
On Naboo, like the youngling annex of new Jedi Council. And then he cuts the ribbon and all the kids are laughing. Okay, no.
I do like him making a big mess. So, and yes. I like testing the audience's patience of like... Because, yes, I think you need that element. And, yes, I think you also want a delicate touch and something that you're rooting for, because I think he's clearly trying to do... I like the sympathy of him being like, don't call me a hero. I'm not a hero. Like, I'm just a junior representative doing what I want. And everybody's response is like, yeah, I know you're not a fucking hero. Like, if we could rewrite it, I would. But Bumpkin wants you to say you're a hero. But he's, like, doing it from a humble reason. Like, he truly, you know, doesn't think so.
Here's what I think. He's doing his campaign ad, right? And we do, like, our... I was reading it. I feel like we can come up with a funnier out from this campaign ad than just he's sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate... You do that, then he's like kind of critiquing the speech, and then he gets interrupted, and someone's like, Jar Jar, what are you doing? You're supposed to be at the ribbon cutting. And he's like, oh, geez, I gotta get down there, right? And then you do like a zany running walk and talk with maybe him and his robot, where he's talking about this, and the robot's telling him, like, you gotta play up there, you're a war hero, you're a big deal, Jar Jar, people like you, you know, or whatever, right? And then you do like, again, maybe in the middle of that, we see like a Gungan veteran, hat in hand, you know, come up to Jar Jar with a real political problem, and Jar Jar wants to stop and help the guy, and then like he gets dragged along.
Yes, I like that.
And then you go from that to, we then cut to him at this ribbon cutting ceremony, and we do our big zany pratfall thing. Yes, you have the big statue falls over and hits the thing that hits the other thing and crushes the third thing. And then he looks embarrassed. And then Order 66 is happening.
You know what's great about that is then afterwards, everyone's like, the Jedi caused that to fall. And Jar Jar's like, woo.
Yes.
You know, because Jedi are the worst now. And then it's like, yes, the Jedi vandalized our town. And Jar Jar's like, actually... And then it's like, ooh, Jar Jar, you gotta tell the truth, and it's his first test.
No, you would do. Yes, now if you're doing that way, it'd be the Jedi pulls him out of the sand, and he's like, "Don't worry." He's like, "Oh no, Palpatine's gonna kill me." He said if I made any more mistakes, he would fire me. And Emperor's like, "Don't worry, I'll tell him I did it." But he's like, "Thanks." And then he wakes up, and they're like, "All the Jedi are dead." And then Jar Jar's like, "Oh no, it's my fault." And they're like, "Oh no, it had nothing to do with that.
Just a coincidence, Jar Jar." Junior representative.
Okay, but here's the thought. I think you're on it, Will, which is I think you do, because what's nice is like you can get his, this is not it, but just as, because you need something a little stronger than like a cake. But for example, if it was like Jar Jar needs to get this ribbon cutting ceremony, and they've told him like, hey, like supporting the veterans that are all injured and have been maimed is like low priority, there's a war going on, I know this is a personal project for you, but as Palpatine said, we can't give any resources the government to this. And Jar Jar, you see Jar Jar's trying to work something, like use his own money, whatever it is. And like, at least today he knows it's the anniversary of some battle, of the Battle of Naboo, and he's like got a big cake for the veterans or whatever it is. And he's trying to do that at the same time as he does the ribbon cutting ceremony. And that's all. And then you introduce the veterans and you see that he really cares about them. And then yes, the ribbon cutting ceremony happens and it's this big accident and he's bummed out. But the last thing that happens is like, right, like a tree falls on the cake and all the veterans are sad and they walk away. And Jar Jar's like, oh my God, like the thing I like, I'm horrible. Like I can't even help these poor folks. I can't get Palpatine to tell me and I can't even give them the cake that they wanted or whatever it is.
Definitely not
and,
cake.
And like you see like what he's trying to do and what his, yes, I know, it's like, well, he's trying to build them something, whatever it is, but like that sort of feel I think is kind of like what the arc of the scene would sort of be, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah, okay,
what you're saying is that it ends with Jar Jar both not feeling like a hero and letting down this group of people.
I mean, yes, I think you get that he's not succeeding in terms of helping these veterans
really much of anything.
Or maybe we don't need to make it specifically about the veterans in this moment also, by the way, like the veterans can also be a thing, a cause that arrives when he's broken and defeated, and then he finds something to care about.
I think generally speaking, you need to see that he cares about Naboo, right? And like he wants to do well for this planet, and he loves Naboo.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't know if it's literally the end of the scene, but maybe it is. Like, essentially the deal and the reason Jar Jar stays is like he obviously doesn't think the Jedi's are bad. But yes, like you also get the idea. I think if you make this about, also, by the way, if you have this being like a, so he's literally doing like an Emperor Palpatine statue that's in front of this. Yes, this like community center. Like you can also get a sense that Jar Jar really respects and loves Emperor Palpatine. Like, right. You, everybody does. Like you can hint at the relationship there easily. You can also do like Palpatine said to make sure that you call yourself a hero, because even though you don't think you are Jar Jar, Emperor Palpatine does, or whatever it is, whatever you want to do. Because yes, I do think this essentially gets to, trust me, Jar Jar, like, look what the Jedi's did to my face. Look what they've done. Like, they are a security danger. We've won this war with people like you and me. And if you want to quit or you don't believe me, like, that's fine. But like, you could help the people of Naboo. Like, you are the senator of Naboo now. Like, what are you going to do? Because I think Jar Jar wants to stay and do what he can for Naboo here. In fact, the fact that he's junior representative is not bad, because it could be like, as emperor, like, I'm not going to be, you know, chancellor is one thing because it was a temporary war thing. But like, I'm emperor now. Like, who's going to be senator? That's you.
Oh, I see. The other thing I was going to say is I don't know that as fun as it is to have everybody hate him, like, I don't know that everyone should hate him at the beginning.
Yeah,
everyone's going to hate him at the end. Like, I feel like at the beginning you can play that he is. I just don't know that that's necessarily something I
would I agree. I think thinking about it again, and as we're going through, like, with the Palpatine stuff, like, I think he's a goofball, and maybe some people will show annoyance with him, but, like, yes, he is a hero of the war, and he is their junior representative. I think introducing the idea that, again, even in the Clone Wars, when they all kind of make fun of him, and like, oh, this guy's a goofy. Like, I mean, they're kind of mean to him, but they don't hate him. They're nicer to him than they are into C-3PO and Return.
And to be fair, he did get elected to Congress, right? That is basically passing a popularity contest. So I think you would even do that. It's like, you know, even if it's like all the people in power cringe at him, like the fanboys of Star Wars do, like, to the people of Naboo, he's like, they're kind of, you know, like, they love him, right? Like, it's like, it's Jar Jar being Jar Jar. He's great. We love
him. But we should definitely introduce the idea that he's like Justin Trudeau in terms of, like, everybody's like, he's so hot. Like, he's the hottest senator.
The hottest Gungan I have ever seen. Like,
I love saying aliens. Like, certain aliens are hot. Like, I love that in Futurama when they, like, ever do Playboy of robots.
Oh, yeah.
like, we don't know. Like,
just
how would we
to
know
go back robots to the Crushinator.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, just Jar Jar was dreamy. I wish all
He's got, like, he literally has, like, just, like, all the fans just taking pictures, paparazzi.
Yeah, find someone that looks at you like Palpatine's wife looks at Jar Jar at this dinner. You know, like, snapping or whatever. Anyways,
Gal Gadot and Jar Jar at a photo shoot, and she's checking him out and remembering she's married.
Yes.
Okay, so that's very fun. Anyways. I like that. So is it like, okay, all right, just to really try the audience's patience, do we start this thing and it's like fucking Naboo has a fever and it's called Jar Jar Mania, and it's like people are wild for Jar Jar Binks, like they're like the babes are screaming their heads off when they see him. Like,
I think that lets you also set up his like unease about being considered a hero too, you know.
Yes, actually more sympathetic, and you like him more if people do like him, and he's and he's a good guy. That's like, I don't
it's
think
like Hail the Conquering Hero a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just helped, I was one soldier, like I know myself. He tells people that story, like, he doesn't lie about it, and like, that's amazing, like, you fucking kept fighting even after you got hit in the nuts. That's incredible. You know,
that's really fun. Okay, that actually opens this up a lot for me, because then it does feel like you do this neurotic moment of him in his office, and they're like, oh shoot, we're late for the thing, like, all right, let's go, Jar Jar, and they open the door, and it's like everyone's like, oh my god, it's him, like, there's just 1,000 people outside trying to, it's like, everybody move, the junior representative is coming through, like, we love you, Jar Jar. And it's like, you're like, oh my god, Jar Jar is super fucking popular. Like, that can be kind of fun, right?
I love the implication of the reason he's not in episodes 2 and 3 very much is like, he was just so busy on Naboo, just like freaking,
he was
just
so
in people
busy.
Just part, like, he just could not get any time away from all the parties and all the, just every politician,
everyone glad
family wanted
him,
to visit him, every school opening needed him there. Like, they just all love hero Jar Jar.
Yeah. And like, they're like, you're on the Johnny the Hutt Carson show tonight. We need you to tell the story about how you landed on your nuts again. He's like, again? All right.
We have some security droid footage of that moment. Let's take a look. Oh, and you kept fighting.
So maybe it is actually a statue of Jar Jar.
Oh, it's like, so it's a statue of himself. is what
I also
saying.
Kind of like the inherent visual metaphor of like his own stupid, his like he literally knocks himself over.
Okay, so I mean, I do remember one of the gags we pitched last time, and probably the people pulling their hair out, being like, you guys already talked about this, was the idea that, yes, there's like a statue of him standing on the tank. And then like, he falls on the statue, and then he double nuts himself. Like the statue, like, do you know what I mean? Like the statue nuts himself, and then he nuts himself on the statue.
Yes, I like the statue that they are making is him standing on the tank, and then you're like, oh, they lied. But then actually, when you read the plaque of the statue, it's like, no, like even though he got nutted, he stood up and took on the battle. It's like, okay, no, like everybody knows what happened.
Despite suffering an injury. Despite suffering a grievous groin injury.
And as medical experts know, the genital area of Gungans is 10,000 times more sensitive than that of a human being. So the pain was excruciating. And yet, he continued a battle and help save Queen Amidala.
One Gungan nut shot is equal to 10 human pregnancies. Like, dang, do they really rank like pain based on, like, that's kind of jacked up that in the Star Wars universe, everything's based on like the human side.
It's like 1950s ad just like pans over to 10 pregnant women and they all go, it's true. They like give a thumbs up. It's like, what is this?
I just love the idea that this dumbass is running around and everyone loves him for just fucking falling all over himself. And then like Queen Amidala is like the Hillary Clinton of space, just like fucking working her ass off, like fucking getting shit done. And I was like, can we really trust Queen Amidala? She's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. It's like, I wish she was more like Jar Jar. It's like, ah,
I feel like I could grab a beer with Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's always saying, like, I didn't do much. Like, Queen Amidala, like, she's the queen and she like ziplined up like 20 stories and like shot people. They're like, okay, we get it, white we knight. You're protecting.
That sounds
you're
protecting fake. I have a 200 part YouTube conspiracy video about why Queen Amidala fakes saving Naboo. Like, if you look at, here's a diagram of a zipline gun and here's how fast she would have had to travel to get to the top window. What does it mean? What are the, oh my God, it really is perfect because the Anakin's like her fucking Bill Clinton, right? Like, she has these like fucking hard ass political ambitions and her fucking dunce of a fucking husband just ruins it all for her. She's like, no! That's the movie. Yeah, that's part two is the Amidala movie. All right. So we get out of this thing. He's like, oh dear, you're sweating. You're sweating up a storm. And then he's arguing with Nate 38 about like, do I have to say I'm a hero? And he's like, Jar Jar, you're a hero. Everyone loves a hero. Look at that crowd outside. And he points to the crowd. There's like a whole crowd with signs saying like, we love you, Jar Jar. Like, that's what they want.
And Jar Jar, you're a hero.
Politics isn't about who you are. It's about who people want you to be or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, he's like, I don't know. And then like, it's like, oh shit, we're late for this ribbon cutting. We got to go. And then you get like essentially like the Jar Jar Binks version of that Austin Powers scene where he's running around and all the people are mobbing him and he does the flip into the car, which is also makes the scene with the Gungan war hero even better, right? Because it's like he's getting mobbed by all these fans who are like, you're the hero of Naboo, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, you know what'd be cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what'd be cool? It's like he's running like Hard Day's Night style. He ducks into a little seedy sidebar and he catches his breath. And who's sitting at the bar but some, you know, war vet knocking him back. You know, and it's like it's this quiet conversation between these two Gungans who fought, you know, and they have this, you know, little bit of mutual respect because both of them were at that fight and it's him coming in hot.
That's not bad. Rather than he's already come up with something for them, maybe this is like kind of a plant where it's like,
yeah, oh, I like he that. Sees
them, and they're very respectful to him. Like, they're like, oh, like Senator, like Jar Jar, like, you know, fellow war hero. He's like, oh, I'm not. And, you know, like even them being, what I was going to say is they're like, hey, why aren't you at the event or whatever? I was going to say, because there's even something to kind of play both in terms of like the way we treat our veterans, but also I think like that works in kind of the world of Star Wars is like, after the Clone Wars, after the wars essentially start, it's all fought by these faceless stormtroopers, right? The idea of them being like, well, the Palpatine be like, well, look, we'll help out the veterans, but like, we shouldn't have them up there. Like, nobody wants to see like maimed veterans. Like, that's why we have young, you know, stormtroopers that are faceless. Like, they die, they're just numbers. They're a hero. Like, they're heroic. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be reminded of the cost of war. Jar Jar, we're in the middle of a war. Like, we'll deal with this when it's over. Like, you know, they're heroes, but they're, you know, they can sacrifice a bit more. They sacrifice on the battlefield. They can, you know, sacrifice being called a hero for a couple years until we win this thing. Like, you know, let's keep morale high.
Oh,
and Jar Jar is like, this doesn't seem right.
You could
like,
do all right. So hear me out, because I very much loved it being a Hard Day's Night set piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they like try to sneak out of the office, and then they're like, oh my god, it's Jar Jar. It's like, it's been a hard, and then he just starts running, and it's like this mob chasing him, like this zany hijinks as they're trying to get to the place in Naboo because like the car's not there. And then you do, Freddy, you do. They duck through an alley, and then in the alley, like he trips over this guy, like he and the guy's like, you know, like trying to, like, he's just home. homeless or something like that. Or like he's panhandling or something like that. And he trips over this guy and he comes face to face with another war hero who is, you know, like whose society has failed, essentially. And you have this kind of tender moment. But then like the crowd is coming around the corner. Like you hear the din of the roar of the crowd and like the shadows falling on the wall. And then like Nate 38 like sighs and then like two fucking like stun guns pop out of his arm. He's like, or he's got like the shield or something like this. Like, I got to protect Jar Jar. And then like, all right, let's go.
You're saying Nate 38. It's like, Jar Jar, do not worry. I have activated my stun gun. These teen girls are fucked. I'm going to be able to stun the entire wall of them, Jar Jar. Don't worry. Take your time.
He's got
I'm
going to
shoot these blue rings at these teenagers who are coming for you.
Jar Jar's like, isn't it horrible that so many of these veterans are just left in the streets? And then Nate 38 like pushes up his glasses. He's like, well, actually, if you look at the data, the percentage of veterans that go on the street is not really significant compared to the average person. When you look at homelessness is a wide, it's like there's no, they're not being discriminated. It's like, okay, Nate, shut up.
Nate, read the room.
Nate, read the fucking room. Go back to your polls and read the fucking room, Nate 38. You understand? I'm Jar Jar, goddammit. And we're like, what is this about? Okay, anyways.
Okay. I dig the flow of that.
If we don't have Nate 38 at some point being like, there is a 60% chance that this won't work. So what does that mean? It's like, well, that means out of 100 simulations, 60 of them will work and 40 will not. So is that yes or no? Well, you see, statistics doesn't give you clean yes or no answers, Jar Jar. As much as we want them to, it's important that we understand.
So if it happens, you're right. Yes. But if it doesn't happen, I'm also right. It's actually impossible for me to be wrong. Damn, he's a good politician.
Damn, he's good. Oh, my God.
Who is this podcast for? I don't know. Charge our fans who read 538. Okay, so yes. Okay, let's talk about the flow. Yes, I like the Hard Day's Night. I like that.
To answer your question, it is for liberals who are Star Wars fans who hate themselves for both reasons. There you go.
It's a good cross-section. Okay, so yes, he is going to a grand opening of... It shouldn't be a war memorial. It should be something like maybe like a new munitions factory or something. Like we're in the middle of a war.
The
like,
Jar Jar like Binks munitions factory.
Yeah.
That you went to munitions factory. I don't know why. Maybe it's just like I'm just staring at my wallpaper. I went to a water park, like a wave pool, because Gungans like swimming.
That is weird. I don't know why.
I like that Naboo has a strategic purpose for the Emperor, because there's also yes, needs to be some value or some reason why Naboo's still important for the Emperor in the next part. Like it's like, yeah, like now, because then what you do is you cut to like 8 years later, whatever, and Naboo, this beautiful green planet, is now just like a munitions farm, and all they do, they're just mining the entire...
This is, according to Wikipedia, Naboo hosted one of the new regime's military garrisons. Due to its status as Palpatine's homeworld, Naboo prospered during the Age of Empire. Its economy environment regarded to be far healthier than most worlds which have been subject to Imperial
rule. No, that's actually better because I like him being in a golden nest of sort when he makes a choice of the rebels. It's pretty easy. It's like, oh, his planet is like literally like a mining town and now like it's been mined. It's like, no, it's like he's pretty much fine. Like he's like, Naboo's cool.
They also demilitarized Naboo, so there was no like standing army there.
Okay, well, we're getting far ahead of ourselves, but that's all good to know.
I do like it being a munitions factory. That kind of makes sense to me, though, right? And what I like about that is then, like, it would be a nice cross-section of the city or the people that are there, you know, like, because it's like everyone's pitching in for the war effort. It's kind of like that World War II kind of thing. So then everyone's.
And I like the statue, and the statue with him on a tank makes sense in front of a munitions factory. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. We're honoring the hero of Naboo, you know, for, you know, like, you're going to walk past him every day when you go into, you're going to keep that Jar Jar mentality when you.
Yes.
The slogan is Weesa can do it.
That's so good. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. I like this sort of like, yes, this kind of like old school propaganda feel, war bond efforts and all that stuff. I think that's all fun.
He's running from the mob. And then you do, because basically what happens is like they're trying to sneak out to their car, to their land speeder. And then Nate 38 gets into drive. And then Jar Jar's about to get in, but gets separated from him. And then the crowd spots him. So he's got to run. And so the Nate 38 like punches it with the speeder and goes around to meet him. And so then you do like he's running through the alley. He has this moment with the veteran. And then the speeder pulls up and it's Nate 38 like, get in, we gotta go, and like that could be you're out from the scene maybe or something like that.
That's fun.
And then the veteran can also even say something like, go, you know, it's like heroes like you, they need to be in front of people, that's why, you know, just don't forget about people like us.
Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff on our plate right now. I feel like we figured out a good run of scenes. To me, it feels like a good breaking point here might be to do the office into them sneaking out into this big zany chase, and then we end with him running into this Gungan war veteran. How about that?
Yeah, I feel like the Gungan war veteran's like a juicy, could be a juicy scene to explore.
We don't want to BS our way through
that. As opposed to the rest of it, which we will be BSing our way through fully.
Yeah.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll get this thing up on its feet. All right, stick around.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95! We did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
All right, we're going to pick this up from the tail end of the opening crawl. So, Freddie, why don't you take us away from But Mostest Important?
But Mostest Important, Misa was the only senator brave enough to grant emergency powers to Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. Misa proud to stand by the Chancellor in our fight to save the Republic, because the galaxy needs a hero, and so does Naboo?
And cut.
The roll-up grinds to an abrupt halt and scrolls back up as we pull out to Interior Senate Building, Jar Jar's office, day. The roll-up is actually a holographic teleprompter floating in midair in the Senate offices of Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar, wearing formal attire, stands anxiously in front of the camera. His silver protocol droid, N-838, dutifully hands him a pair of giant novelty vibro scissors.
That's where you cut the cord and the curtain drops, revealing a fabulous statue of you, sir.
The holographic projection shifts into an image of a statue hidden under a curtain. The curtain falls, revealing a statue of Jar Jar standing boldly atop a tank. An inscription at the bottom reads, "The Hero of Naboo." Jar Jar lowers the big scissors and frowns doubtfully at the inscription.
Should we really say, Misa, Hero of Naboo?
N-838 gives an amused chuckle and walks to the window.
Don't ask me, Junior Representative Binks. Ask your constituents.
He opens the blinds. Outside in the courtyard below, a massive crowd of adoring fans screams and cheers for Jar Jar. They wave signs and banners. Jar Jar is our hero. Misa heart Jar Jar, etc.
Aye, yikes. This acting like Misa Bombad Jedi. But Misa just some any day kind of fella.
And that's why you're so inspiring. Only the chosen elite can swing a lightsaber, but anyone can be as brave as Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar frowns, still doubtful.
Junior Representative, if I may be so bold, look around you. The galaxy is at war. The people are afraid. They need heroes to give them hope. They need you, Jar Jar. And so does Chancellor Palpatine.
N-838 not so subtly turns Jar Jar towards a massive portrait of a smiling Chancellor Palpatine hanging on the wall. An engraving on the frame reads, "To Jar Jar, do it, Sheev." Jar Jar's resolve begins to crumble.
Well, if it will help the Chancellor.
That's the spirit. Now let's get out there and give the people what they want.
Jar Jar puts on a brave smile, hoists the scissors over his shoulder, and marches to the door.
Not the front door. The rebel will mob us like a pack of slitherfish. In the garbage chute, Representative.
N-838 opens a hatch in the wall and waves Jar Jar forward. Jar Jar shrugs and jumps into the hole. Exterior, Theed City, day. Jar Jar and N-838 tumble out a chute into an alley behind City Hall. The roar of a crowd chanting, "Jar, Jar, Jar, Jar," fills the air nearby. N-838 spots a silver land speeder parked nearby.
That's our speeder. Oh, blast. Where's the driver?
Jar Jar puts the big scissors in the back and helps N-838 into the passenger seat.
Not to worry. Misa, pretty handy behind the wheel.
Oh, dear. Just... try to keep a low profile.
As Jar Jar buckles in N-838, his butt nudges a
hold on, hold on. Sorry. Has there ever been a seatbelt in any of the 9 Star Wars movies, Will?
I believe C-3PO buckles himself in the Millennium Falcon in A New Hope when they're blasting off out of the Death Star.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a coy reference to that.
Yeah, just most of the movies are full of, like, rebels and bad boys. So, like, we don't see a lot of seatbelts, but, like, good citizens like Jar Jar definitely wear seatbelts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
As Jar Jar buckles in N-838, his butt nudges a big red button on the dashboard. Suddenly, a massive hologram of Jar Jar beams into the sky, waving. Huge speakers pop out of the speeder and campaign music blares, along with a booming recording of Jar Jar's voice.
Sorry, has anybody done a visual gag where somebody farts and, like, the wave of the fart, like, shakes the hologram as if, like, the hologram's made of, like... Anyways.
That's some next-level cinematic shit there, Matt.
I've just never seen that visually. Anyway, sorry.
Misa Jar Jar Binks, and Misa here... Misa right here for you.
Jar Jar and N-838 freeze in terror. At the end of the alley, a Jar Jar superfan, a Mandalorian wearing fake Gungan ears on his helmet, waving a little flag, gasps as he spots them.
Oh my gosh, it's Jar Jar!
A high-pitched scream erupts from the crowd. Stampeding footsteps shake the ground.
Punch it!
Jar Jar stomps the gas, and the speeder lurches backwards straight into a pole. Its engine conks out and it falls into the ground. A massive crowd of screaming fans pours into each side of the alley, surrounding them.
What was it gonna do?
Hang on!
A jetpack pops out of Nate 38's back. Jar Jar hops into his arms. They blast off, but their combined weight makes the jetpack pitch forward and they zoom mere feet above the ground straight through the crowd. A rollicking alien pop song a la A Hard Day's Night kicks off as we begin montage.
Sorry, a rollicking alien jizz song.
And rocks a rollicking alien jizz pop rock number.
And just for everyone who doesn't know, jizz is a type of music in Star Wars.
Yes, it is.
You can look it up on Wikipedia. We're not saying sexual things just for the heck of it, even though that's our normal.
It's not sexual, it's biological, Freddy. It is just fluid inside the body that starts.
It can be both, Matt. It can be both biological and sexual.
This is very Rocket Man energy.
Yes.
Or Rocketeer. That's what I meant. Rocketeer energy.
Exterior Theed Streets, day. A madcap slapstick chase sequence ensues as Jar Jar and Nate 38 careen through the streets of Theed, pursued by a wild mob led by the Mandalorian Jar Jar fan giving chase with his jetpack. Nate 38 weaves through a twisting alleyway that pours out into a street market. They blast through fruit vendor carts and pottery stands, causing chaos wherever they turn. Naturally, they plow straight through a costume shop and emerge from the other side wearing new outfits. Nate 38 is dressed like a palace guard, while Jar Jar somehow is wound up dressed like Queen Amidala. They exchange confused glances, then scream as they realize they're flying straight towards a low-hanging archway. Nate 38 tries to dive. His jetpack scrapes the bottom of the arch and flies off, sending our duo tumbling into the ground. The mob rounds the corner, then skids abruptly to a halt when they see the Queen of Naboo and her royal guard. Everyone drops to a knee and makes a path for them to walk through. Nate 38 puts on a pompous air and marches like a soldier. Jar Jar smiles nervously and gives a little queen hand wave to the crowd. Suddenly, Jar Jar steps over a grated air vent to the ground. A puff of steam blows his royal dress into the air, Marilyn Monroe style, revealing his big gungan feet underneath. The Jar Jar Fandalorian, headbound, sees Jar Jar's feet, looks up and screams,
"It's him!"
Jar Jar and Nate 38 take off running once again, this time towards an overpass. A freight train speeds along beneath them. Jar Jar and Nate 38 give each other a terrified look and jump for it. The crowd catches up to the overpass, just in time to see Jar Jar and Nate 38 clinging for dear life to a speeding cargo container beneath them. They sigh with disappointment as our duo zooms off down the tracks. Interior railway car, day. Jar Jar and Nate 38 climb into a beat-up, mostly empty railway shipping car. They sigh with relief and flop onto the ground.
General Jar Jar? It's a you?
Jar Jar looks up. In the corner of the car, a weathered Gungan in tattered clothes has made a little camp for himself. This is Croquet Seal.
Croquet?
Croquet beams a megawatt grin and hobbles to his feet, pulling a crutch under his arm.
General Jar Jar! Captain Croquet Seal! Ready for battle.
All right, well, that's the scene, boys.
All right. You know what I love about this season? See, this is good. The true joy of script writing is giving ourselves a challenge. And Heaven Heist, the challenge was when that first scene happened, it's like, how the fuck do we live up with how rad that first scene is, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one's like, how do we get the audience back after the first few minutes of this movie? Like, if we had the power, we're locking the doors. And it's like, no, you're not leaving until we convince you this is good. So I'm all for this. I love it.
I don't know how to feel about that as feedback, Matt, but I'm going to hoke on and try to take that positively.
It is the best possible version of what we've decided we're going to do for the next year. So it's very good. What I think this will do, if we do it right, is that a lot of young adult series, not just like Harry Potter, but that's probably the one that people most think about in terms of like starting in one place and then aging with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I want our audience to be children, go through puberty and become adults by the end of this movie. It's like a start. It's a kid's movie. And it's like, okay, here you are. And then by the end, you're like, some things are greater than yourself. Your life is only worth like the things you sacrifice it for. Like, oh shit, okay.
One detail that I did like, Will, that is interesting is that Jar Jar, a beloved politician, is still in fact reduced to falling down trash chutes in order to get out of the building. There's no back entrance. They actually just dump it straight into the dumpster. Like, that's some civil engineering and, you know, anyway.
Yeah, I have to admit, I really could not help myself with a lot of the dumb chasing cliches in this chase scene. I at one point had the crowd runs past like a big mural, and the mural, it's like an ad for the palace guard, and then they're frozen, but literally it's Nate 38 posing like Luke Skywalker in that poster where he's holding the sword up, and then like Jar Jar's clinging his leg like Princess Leia.
That's
great.
A little self-referential, but I was
like, this is getting a little long in the tooth. I gotta cut this down.
Fantastic.
Next week, we'll dive in on this tender scene between Jar Jar and his fellow Gungan war vet.
Isn't he supposed to get to a ribbon ceremony?
I had them go to on a freight train, because now it's as easy as, like, the freight train's passing by the munitions depot.
Oh, and then they can just hop out.
It's like a bridge, and then, like, he falls off the train and tumbles down the bridge and knocks over a statue and farts in somebody's... By the way, we are 100%... I'm putting it right here, right now. There's a fart joke in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's what you wait for. It will happen.
Oh, yeah.
But one. We get one.
Yeah. George Lucas put one in Phantom
Menace.
In all
the movies. Yeah, it's in the Phantom Menace. I think there's more than one, but yeah, this movie will have a fart joke.
Alec Baldwin actually famously vetoed it, and that's why the first Star Wars isn't as good as Empire Strikes Back.
Alec Baldwin?
Not Alec Baldwin.
Alec Guinness, sorry.
Young Alec Baldwin.
That said, Alec Baldwin as Obi-Wan Kenobi would be fantastic.
That's definitely a choice. That's very good. All right.
All right. Will, any fan art to speak of?
Okay, so as I mentioned, we got a terrific Photoshop from Spencer Mayo of our opening crawl with Jar Jar's big goofy face in the middle of it. So thank you very much to Spencer. Bren Everfolly sent us a really wonderful Jar Jar Star Wars poster story. So thanks, Bren. Bren is one of the top posters in our Facebook group, always starts the discussion thread. So you can check out Bren's handiwork in our Facebook group at bit.ly/storybreakfb. You can also find Bren's fan art along with the rest of our fan art on twitter.com/rjstorybreak. And finally, we got a very fun Photoshop from Captain Sophie on Twitter for Netflix's original series, House of Jar Jars, which features Jar Jar very strangely Photoshopped into the House of Cards opening. It's fantastic. So thank you very much to Captain Sophie. Again, that's twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on their network. Head on over to MaximumFun.org to check out all the great podcasts that are available. There's plenty to choose from. Just pick one randomly. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to MaximumFun.org. I'm going to click on podcasts. I'm going to click all our podcasts. Shaboom! The JV Club with Janet Varney. Let's check that out. And by the way, stick around. There's going to be a little promo for one of the shows afterwards. So have a listen. Chad Ellis edits this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And I'm, you know what? It doesn't matter who I am. I reserve 1 minute for the gentleman of California. I would just like to take this.
Will the senator yield?
I just like to take this time to really thank Chad Ellis. Thanks a lot, Chad.
Hi, I'm James, host of Minority Corner, which is a
podcast that's all about intersectionality. It's hosted by James with a guest host every week.
Discussing all sorts of wonderful issues, nerdy and political.
Pop culture.
Black, queer, feminism.
Race, sexuality.
News.
You're going to learn your history, their self-empowerment, and it's told by what feels like your best friend.
Why should someone listen to Minority Corner?
Why not?
Oh my God, free stuff.
There's not free stuff.
The listeners of Minority Corner will enjoy some necessary LOLs, but mainly a look at what's happening in our world through a colorful lens.
People will get the perspective of marginalized communities.
I feel heard. I feel seen.
Like you said, you need to understand how to be more proactive in your community, and this is a great way to get started.
Join us every Friday on Max Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minority Corner. Because together, we're the majority.